Welcome to this deep dive on optimal growing conditions.
Yeah.
Ensuring safe and healthy microgreens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today we're diving into the delicate balance of these six key factors for growing microgreens.
Yeah.
Light, temperature, humidity.
Yes.
Air circulation.
Right.
Growing media.
Uh-huh.
And water quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much I like to get to the heart of things. So let's just jump right in.
Sounds great.
You know, I used to think that more light was always better when it came to growing. Like, the more light, the faster the growth.
Yeah.
Turns out it's not that simple.
No, it's not. It's really about providing the right type of light and for the right amount of time.
Okay.
So it's more than just like how many hours of light. It's also about the quality of the light. So think of it like this. Your microgreens, they need a healthy dose of both red and blue light wavelengths.
Okay.
Almost like specific nutrients for your plants.
I like that.
The red light, about 80% of the mix, it helps those stems grow nice and tall. While the blue light, that other 20%, that's what's all about developing those vibrant leaves and boosting that flavor.
So it's not just about the hours, but the quality of light.
Exactly.
And I tried this. Like, I did this experiment. I blasted my microgreens with a ton of light, thinking I was going to get all this growth.
Yeah.
And they were just pale and spindly.
Right. That makes sense. You're almost overfeeding them with one nutrient and then neglecting the others.
Yeah.
And we also have to think about light intensity, too.
Right.
So the sweet spot is usually between 100 to 400 mmol.
Okay. Break that down for me.
Sure. Sure.
And our listener, of course.
It's just a unit to measure how much light energy is hitting a specific area.
Oh, okay.
And you don't have to memorize the unit or anything, but understanding that there's a Goldilocks zone for light intensity.
I got you.
Too low, your plants, they're not going to grow as well. Too high, and you risk those issues that you were talking about, leggy and pale stems.
You got it. So natural sunlight.
Yep.
LED grow lights,
yeah.
Fluorescent lights.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best one for hitting that sweet spot?
Yeah, that's a great question. Each one actually has its own pros and cons.
Okay.
Natural sunlight's great. It's free.
Sure.
But depending on your location and the time of year, it can be unreliable.
Okay.
LEDs, they're energy efficient.
Right.
And they allow you to really fine-tune that light spectrum.
Okay.
But they are a little bit more expensive up front.
Sure.
Then you got your fluorescents, which are more budget-friendly. But they might not be as intense.
I see.
I think the key is consistency.
Okay.
Choose a light source that you can rely on to provide that consistent light that your microgreens crave.
Gotcha. Speaking of Goldilocks zones, let's move on to temperature and humidity.
Okay.
I kind of had my own aha moment with this one.
Really?
I was so excited about my setup. You know, I was like, ooh, if I just crank up the heat, it'll just grow super fast. And it just did not go well. Mold was a major issue.
Yeah, it's like you accidentally created a rainforest.
Yeah.
High temperatures, especially when you combine them with that high humidity, you're just creating this breeding ground for mold and other things you don't want.
So what is that just right temperature range?
Microgreens. They're a lot like Goldilocks. They like things just right.
Yeah.
So for germination, you want to aim for around 75, 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
Quite.
And then once they start actually growing, then they prefer it a little bit cooler, around 65, 75 degrees.
Okay.
Just slightly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And how does humidity play into all of this?
You can think of humidity as that dance partner to temperature.
Okay.
You know, you want that sweet spot between 50% and 65% humidity. Too high, you risk mold, diseases.
Uh-huh.
Too low, and the microgreens, they might dry out too quickly.
Yeah. I learned about the accurate monitoring thing the hard way. For a while, I was just checking the room temperature, but then I realized the temperature right at the tray level was totally different.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I have digital thermometers and hygrometers placed at the plant level.
That's a great tip for any grower.
Yeah.
Because even those small fluctuations in temperature and humidity, it can stress out your microgreens.
Sure.
Just like it would stress us out.
Yeah.
So consistency is really important.
Well, speaking of consistency, let's talk about air circulation.
Okay.
My early attempts at this involved this desk fan, and I was just blasting my poor microgreens, like bent stems, uneven growth. It was a disaster.
It sounds like you had a little bit of a wind tunnel going on there.
I did.
Yeah, gentle air circulation is crucial, but it's more about creating a soft breeze, not a hurricane.
Okay, so how do you create that symphony of airflow?
Symphony of airflow, I love that. Well, positioning is key. You can use oscillating fans placed about 3-4 feet away from your trays, and the goal is to create gentle air movement that reaches all parts of your growing area.
Okay.
So you're preventing those stagnant pockets where mold can form.
I've also started running my fans 2,000 for 7, even overnight.
Great.
It helps prevent that condensation from building up.
Exactly, exactly. So you're creating a really stable environment. Now let's talk about the foundation of your setup, the growing media. You know, I remember when I first started, I was like, soil is soil, right?
I did the same thing.
I learned pretty quickly that there's a whole world out there.
Yeah. My first few attempts involved just grabbing whatever soil I could find at the garden center. And let's just say I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Not all soil is created equal.
Exactly. There are so many options for growing media. You got your sterilized soil, your coco coir, hemp mats.
Yeah.
Even felt mats.
I've tried a few different kinds.
Yeah.
Sterilized soil is a classic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find. Not that expensive. Coco coir, which comes from coconut husks, is good for its water retention and it's airy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even tried hydroponic mats, which are really good for water conservation.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just a super clean environment.
I think no matter which media you choose, sanitation's key.
Oh, for sure.
Think of your growing area as like a professional kitchen. You know, cleanliness is non-negotiable. Always start with a clean, sanitized tray and fresh media.
Absolutely. Speaking of sanitation, I learned the hard way that reusing untreated media is a recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was being clever. I was going to reuse some soil.
Yep.
And it ended up just being contaminated with mold. What a mess.
Mm.
Now I'm just super cautious. I inspect my media. If I see any musty smell or discoloration, I just toss it immediately.
That's a wise approach. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of health, let's move on to water quality. A lot of people think water is water, right?
Yeah. I used to think tap water was fine, but one day my whole crop was wiped out.
Yeah.
I had dampening off disease. Talk about a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Now I test my water, like, religiously. I check for the pH, chlorine, bacteria.
You know, water quality, it really can make or break your success. It's like if you're building a house on a shaky foundation, it's just not going to hold up. Water is like that foundation for your plants. If it's contaminated or unbalanced, it can impact everything.
So tell me more about these water tests. What am I actually looking for?
Well, pH is a big one. It measures the acidity and alkalinity of your water. Microgreens prefer a slightly acidic environment, a pH between 5.5 and 6.5.
Okay.
You can test that really easily with a simple pH meter. You can find them at most garden centers.
Okay, pH. Got it. What about chlorine and bacteria? How do those affect the microgreens?
So chlorine, that's often added to tap water to kill bacteria, which is good.
Right.
But it can also harm the beneficial microbes in your growing media and even damage the plants. So if you are using tap water, let it sit out for at least 24 hours to let that chlorine evaporate.
Makes sense. I've also heard about people using filtered water or rainwater for their microgreens.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Filtered water is great, especially if you're concerned about contaminants in your tap water. Rainwater can be used too, but filter it first because it may have collected some pollutants from the air.
So there's no one-size-fits-all approach to this.
Right.
It's about being aware
of
those potential issues.
Yeah. Just be aware of potential issues and take those steps to ensure your water is clean and balanced.
Gotcha. And one technique I've heard about to help with water management and disease prevention is bottom watering.
Yes.
Now, I've heard of it, but I've never actually tried it.
Uh-huh.
What are the benefits?
It's a fantastic technique. Instead of watering from the top, which can sometimes make the leaves wet and create that environment for mold, you place your tray in like a shallow dish of water and let the media absorb that moisture from the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So it keeps those leaves dry.
I like that.
And it encourages strong root development.
Okay. So it seems like we've covered a lot of ground already, but we've really just scratched the surface.
We have.
Of these optimal growing conditions.
We have so much more to explore.
Yeah.
But before we dive deeper, I think it's important to acknowledge that every grower, no matter how experienced you are, is going to face challenges.
Oh, I can relate to that. My early attempts at this looked more like a failed science experiment than a garden. I made every mistake in the book.
But, you know, those failures, those are some of the best learning experiences.
Absolutely.
It's not about perfection. It's about observation, early detection, and making timely adjustments. You can think of your growing space as a living laboratory.
I love that.
Where you're constantly experimenting, you know, and learning as you go.
Yeah. So let's talk about troubleshooting.
Okay.
What are some common challenges that people run into, and how can we address them?
Well, one of the most common is, you know, as you've experienced, mold.
Yes.
Often a sign of too much humidity, maybe poor air circulation, or contaminated media.
So if you see mold, what's the first thing you should do?
Remove any affected trays right away to prevent that spread.
Okay.
Increase air circulation, lower the humidity, and make sure that you're not overwatering.
Well, we start with clean trays and fresh media. What about other issues like leggy growth or uneven germination?
Mm.
What are some common causes and solutions for that?
Yeah. Leggy growth is usually a sign of not enough light. You might need to increase the intensity of your light or how long they're exposed to the light.
Okay.
Uneven germination, that could be caused by a few things. Inconsistent moisture levels, maybe temperature fluctuations, or even poor seed quality.
It really is amazing how many factors come into play.
It really is.
I've made it a habit to check my trays every single day, just with a flashlight.
Great habit.
I can just spot any potential issues before they become a major problem.
Early detection is key.
Yes.
The sooner you patch an issue, the easier it is to address.
Yeah, just pay attention to those subtle cues.
Yeah.
You know, a little discoloration, a wilting leaf, a patch of slow growth.
Exactly. They're talking to you. You just have to learn how to listen.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. They really are. It's fascinating. Speaking of fascinating, you know, when I was doing some research for this deep dive, there was this study that really blew my mind when I read it.
Okay.
It's called Environmental Factors Influencing the Growth and Pathogenicity of Microgreens Bound for the Market. A review.
Wow, that sounds pretty intense.
It is. What did they look at?
So the researchers, Abhijay and their team, they looked at how these specific conditions can impact not just the growth, but also the risk of contamination. They looked at everything we've been discussing today. Yeah. Temperature.
Okay.
Humidity, okay. Light, even the growing media.
I mean, that's incredibly relevant for anyone that's thinking about selling their microgreens.
Absolutely.
Who, you know, just wants to make sure that what they're growing for their family is super safe.
Exactly. And they actually discovered some really interesting things. Like, for example, they found that by just adjusting the LED light schedule to like a consistent 16 hours per day, they saw a 40% increase in biomass.
Wow. A 40% increase.
Yeah.
Just from tweaking the light schedule.
Just from tweaking the light schedule.
That's huge. Have you tried that out yourself? I have, and the results were amazing. I saw a noticeable difference in the health and the vigor of my plants. They were sturdier, more vibrant, and the yields were significantly higher.
That's what I love about all this. It's like we're unlocking all these little secrets
to
help these little microgreens thrive.
Yeah.
So you could sum up all this wisdom into a few key takeaways for our listeners.
Yeah.
What would they be?
I think first and foremost, consistency is key. Think of it like you're creating this really stable, predictable environment for your microgreens.
Gotcha.
They don't like surprises any more than we do. Maintain those ideal temperatures and humidity ranges.
Sure.
Provide consistent lighting. Keep that gentle airflow going. It's all about creating this sense of equilibrium.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Just like we thrive on routine, they do too. What else?
I can't stress enough the importance of observation. Don't just set it and forget it. Spend a few minutes each day really looking at your trays, you know, noticing any subtle changes in color, growth patterns, or just the overall appearance. Early detection, it's so crucial.
Yeah, they're talking to us.
Exactly.
We just have to learn how to listen.
Yes. And finally, I would say, don't be afraid to experiment and, you know, learn from your mistakes. Every grower, no matter how experienced they are, faces challenges. It's how we respond to those challenges that makes all the difference.
I love that. It's all about embracing the learning process.
Yeah.
So speaking of learning, one more topic I want to touch on before we wrap up, and that's food safety.
Absolutely. Food safety is paramount, especially when dealing with something as delicate as microgreens. One of the biggest risks that we face is contamination.
Right.
Whether it's bacteria, mold, or other pathogens.
Right. And this is where those optimal growing conditions we've been talking about really come into play, right?
Exactly. Each of those six key factors plays a crucial role in minimizing contamination risks.
Uh-huh.
For example, air circulation. Good airflow, it not only helps prevent mold growth, but it also strengthens the plant's natural defenses, making them more resistant to diseases.
It's like we're building this fortress of protection around them, using these environmental factors as our shields. So what are some practical steps that our listeners can take to ensure top-notch food safety in their growing setups?
Well, sanitation is really non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Everything that comes into contact with your microgreens, trays, tools, even your hands, needs to be cleaned and sanitized before each use.
I've heard some growers compare their growing areas to like a surgical suite.
Yeah.
You know, that emphasis on being sterile.
It's a great analogy. And don't forget about the growing media itself. Whether you're using soil or coco coir or those hydroponic mats, yeah, make sure that it's properly treated to eliminate any potential contaminants.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. Not an experience I want to repeat. What about water quality? We talked about the importance of testing, but are there any kind of red flags to watch out for?
Yeah. Keep a close eye on your pH levels. The ideal range for microgreens is between 5.5 and 6.5. You can test that easily with a simple pH meter. Chlorine is another thing that can actually harm your plants. So if you're using tap water, let it sit out for at least 24 hours to let that chlorine evaporate.
And that's an easy one.
Yeah.
I've also heard about people using filtered water or even rainwater for their microgreens.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Filtered water is definitely a good option, especially if your tap water is known to have high levels of contaminants.
Okay.
Rainwater can be a bit tricky because it can collect pollutants from the air. So if you're going to use rainwater, make sure you have a good filtration system in place.
Gotcha. So it's all about being mindful of the source and taking those extra steps to ensure that purity. Now, let's talk about those aha moments that turn into valuable lessons. Can you share any of your most memorable growing challenges?
Let me see. One that really sticks out in my mind was when I first started experimenting with different growing media.
Yeah.
You know, I had read about the benefits of hemp mats, and I was really eager to give them a try.
Sure.
But I made the mistake of overwatering, and the mats, they just became soggy. And it created this perfect environment for mold.
Mold is like the enemy.
It is. Yeah. It is. So I had to act quickly.
Yeah.
Remove the affected mats, increase the air circulation, made sure that I adjusted my watering techniques to prevent it from happening again. But it was definitely a valuable lesson in the importance of drainage and really understanding the unique characteristics of each growing media.
I bet that experience taught you a lot about observation, too.
It did. It did. Now, I'm much more attuned to the subtle signs of overwatering, like, you know, yellowing leaves or a musty smell. Another challenge I faced early on was dealing with leggy growth. You know, my microgreens, they were stretching towards the light, becoming all tall and spindly instead of nice and compact.
Yeah.
You know, the vibrant beauties I was hoping for.
That's a common one for beginners, too.
Yeah.
So what did you do to correct it?
Well, the culprit was insufficient light. I was using a weaker LED grow light that wasn't providing enough intensity. So I ended up investing in a higher quality light, adjusting that distance between the light and the trays, and just making sure that my microgreens were getting those recommended 12 to 16 hours of light per day.
It really is amazing how something as seemingly simple as light can make such a huge difference in the health and the appearance of your plants.
It really is. Light is like the fuel that powers photosynthesis.
Right.
You know, that magical process that turns sunlight into energy. And without enough light, the plants, they just can't thrive. You know, reflecting on all these challenges and solutions, it reminds me of something a mentor once told me.
Ooh, I love a good mentor story.
Yeah, yeah. They said, growing microgreens is like conducting a symphony.
Ooh.
You are the conductor, and the environmental factors are your instruments.
I love that.
Each one needs to be perfectly tuned and in harmony with the others to create a masterpiece.
I love that. That's beautiful. And it really captures what we've been talking about today.
Yeah.
You know, that creating that perfect balance of light, temperature, humidity, air circulation, growing media, and water quality.
Yes.
When all those elements are in sync.
Yeah.
You create those optimal conditions for your microgreens to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, yeah.
I love that analogy of the symphony. You know, it speaks to the artistry of growing microgreens. It's not just about following a set of rules. It's about developing a feel and intuition for what your plants need.
It is, yeah. Just like a conductor brings their own interpretation to a symphony, each grower brings their own style and creativity to their practice. There's no one right way to do it.
So it's that blend of science and art, you know?
Yeah.
We're using these scientific principles to create those conditions, but there's also this element of intuition, experimentation, connecting with nature on a deeper level.
Exactly. It's about observing, listening, and responding to the needs of your plants. Understanding that balance of all those factors and making those adjustments.
You know, sometimes I'll just find myself staring at my microgreens, just marveling at how these tiny seeds can transform into these vibrant, nutrient-packed greens.
Yeah.
It's really a magical process. It really is. And it connects us back to nature, you know, in such a profound way. We're reminded that even in the smallest of spaces, on your windowsill, your countertop, you can cultivate life, beauty, and nourishment.
And it brings us back to where we started today, you know, the importance of creating those safe and healthy microgreens. It's not just about, you know, tons of growth or like achieving some perfect aesthetic. It's about nurturing life, respecting the delicate balance of nature, and then ultimately nourishing ourselves and our families.
Exactly. It's about taking responsibility for our food, understanding where it comes from, and knowing that we've had a hand in creating something truly special.
So for all of our listeners out there, you know, just starting their microgreen journey, or you're a seasoned grower, just looking to refine your techniques, just embrace the process. Stay curious and never stop learning.
Right. And remember, every seed, it holds the potential for something extraordinary. It's up to us to provide those right conditions for that potential to unfold.
That's beautiful. That is a beautiful way to end this deep dive. We hope you've enjoyed exploring this world with us today.
Absolutely.
And until next time, happy growing.
Happy growing.